We're just seconds away from our small business spotlight this week that shines on the Quill and Nib, a high-quality pen, paper, and ink retail center in the historic Valley Junction. And it all came about, says owner Rob Beers, because his mother asked him when he was going to get a real job. It's a great story. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of Arion. Imagine being able to let somebody else more qualified handle the complexities of your small business or nonprofit HR functions, while you focus on growing your business or your mission. Learn more about Arion HR by heading to AURION.com.
Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through. You know, one of the things we enjoy so much doing is what we call the Small Business Spotlight. That's where we sit down with small business people across the United States and talk about the who, what, where, and why that they're in business. And you know, so many, well, two-thirds of all the jobs that are created in the United States come from small business operators. And with us is Rob Beers. He is the owner of the Quill and Nib. It is, well, we'll let him tell you what it is. Rob, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
So what is this business that you have called the Quill and Nib?
Well, the business is really, I don't even call it a small business. I call it a micro business because it's basically me and several part-time employees. What we do, I have custom-made pens. I have other writing instruments from other major companies, inks, stationery, things like that, which I sell in my store.
You know, and for full disclosure, I have done business with Rob for a number of years. You started out in a place called the Valley West Mall.
Correct.
If I remember correctly. That's been years ago. And tell us about that location, then we're going to talk about this place.
Well, that location, actually, the business started as a very cruel joke.
Really?
I took care of my elderly mother for years, at least transportation, things like that. She was blind and had a lot of medical problems. And at the doctor one day, one of the staff there asked her how she was doing, and she said, pretty good for an old lady. And they made the comment, how is your son? And she said it would be better if he had a real job.
Oh.
Keeping in mind that I spent 23 and a half years in the Navy and retired from that, went back to college and worked in the healthcare field here for about 10 years and got downsized. So I theoretically was retired.
Mm-hmm.
But in light of her comment, I went out to Valley West Mall. I'd been making pens as a hobby for a few years and asked them if they had a kiosk I could have on a percentage. I told them I have no money, I won't sign a lease, and could I do that? And they said, sure. So I started out in a two-case kiosk as a joke with 70 of my pens and nothing else.
You know, I have a feeling, knowing how you've done business and knowing a bit about you, that that request of the management of Valley West Mall says a lot about Rob Beers. Look, I don't have any money, but I want you to throw in and I'll give you a percentage. And they took it.
Sure.
And they took it at a time when really the mall was busy.
It was booming at that time.
That's interesting. Why do you think that they said yes?
The people who own that particular company out of Minneapolis, they've done that with a lot of people, especially in the Valley West Mall here in Des Moines, Iowa. And it's just a good way to keep their smaller spots open, to create new business, and they take an interest in helping people out to do that.
Interesting.
That's their lifeblood.
Well, it's almost like a business incubator under their own.
It really is, yes.
All right, so you morphed from a two-kiosk location in a mall that was very busy, lots of traffic. Those things have changed today.
Certainly.
to this beautiful functionary store in what is called the Valley Junction portion. This is the historic Valley Junction, Jim Miller would advise me to say, that really is It is a destination location, isn't it?
It really is. It's for many, many years, as far back as I can remember, keeping in mind I wasn't in Des Moines for quite a few years while I was in the Navy, but it's always been kind of a group of eclectic small stores, mom-and-pop-owned stores, and it continues pretty much that way to this day, although I think some of the newer businesses are a little bit more traditional business-oriented, but still very small mom-and-pop-type operations.
Very much so. And the store that you're in, the storefront, is deep and it's wide, and it is loaded with all kinds of things, from pens and papers and inks and journals and all of the things that go around the world of communication using old-fashioned things like actual writing. It might stun some people that this is still a viable business in the day of email.
Well, a lot of people think that, but a lot of people are also learning and reverting back that the handwritten word, especially a handwritten signature with a fountain pen, commands attention. One of those crosses your desk, you tend to pick it up and look at it. Computer-generated stuff is fast, it's efficient, it's nice, it can look pretty, but it usually goes in a pile along with the other 100 that you got that day. So we kind of focus on that. We focus on the fact that, especially in the local area here, kids are not learning how to write today. Mm. They can't sign their own name. And I find that appalling personally. The rest of the world learns how to write in cursive. And I've talked with employers who say they have college grads, they write them a note to do something, and they can't do it because they can't
Isn't
read the
something?
Note. And it's really, to me, just something that we try to encourage parents to do, to teach their children if the schools won't. And we're fairly active in doing that, too.
You know, that's an interesting paradigm. The more communication is done, the less we communicate in personal ways of handwriting. And I to echo exactly what you said, you know, studies have said, Rob, that if an individual gets in the mail an actual note of thank you or appreciation or whatever that happens to be, sympathy sometimes, that will stick around with the person and make a bigger impact than electronics.
Exactly. And it's another factor that we use, or I use, in selling my own product, the pens that I make, because so many people give pens as to their loyal customers, and they can get, you know, 100 pens for $29 with all kinds of different things printed on them. But in fact, what you hand that person is what you're telling them you think of them.
Our guest is Rob Beers, ladies and gentlemen. This is a Small Business Spotlight. He is the owner and proprietor of Quill and Nib. Let's talk a little bit. I want to get into some of the work that you do and you've been doing for a long time. You custom make pens, but you also have pens that are from the finest manufacturers in the world here. Let's first look at the pens that you make. And you just said something interesting. Many individuals, I mean, I get them at our shop, you know, they'll send you a pen with our name on it and say you can have 500 of these things for 29 cents a piece or whatever the thing is, I don't know. And you look at how many businesses out there get those, and then they buy them, and they think by handing those out to their top customers, they're doing something, but it ends up in a drawer or off to the side. Talk to us about the difference between a custom-made pen and that stuff.
One of the major things that I found, and I get those in the mail all the time,
sure,
too, half of them don't write when you first get them. If you go to find a refill for them, nobody makes them. That, to me, is very frustrating. And what I've learned over the years is that if you give someone a quality product that they will carry and be proud to carry, every time they use it, they will remember you. And to me, that is a huge, huge selling point.
Absolutely. You know, and another piece of, you know, I read too much, Rob. One of the things, and ladies and gentlemen, one of the things I read, and it's been a couple of years ago, that when men, particularly men, are in business with other men, there are a couple of things that they notice first about the person that they're sitting with in business. One is, are their shoes polished? Number two, what kind of watch are they wearing? And number three, to your point, is what kind of pen are they using? Would I be pretty far off with that?
Nope, I think you're exactly right. And I know I've always been kind of a clothes hound myself, and I don't dress very professionally, if you would say that today,
elegantly.
In a coat and tie. Elegantly might be a better word, but it does make a difference in how you present yourself, and certainly pens are part of that.
Yeah.
I've found I can walk in a grocery store. I've been working in my shop. I'm covered with dirt and paint and all kinds of other materials. Look like I came from under the bridge, and I'll pull out a pen to write a check, and they'll say, "What
wow.
a beautiful pen.
Yeah.
Where did you get that?"
Yeah, it is a noticeable piece of personal branding. We're with Rob Beers, ladies and gentlemen, the proprietor of Quill and Nib on the Small Business Spotlight. Let's one more question about custom-made pens.
Sure.
For business. Mm-hmm. So let's say that I have a business and I have 50 key people. Would you suggest that they have their name put on that pen or not have their name put or and logo put on that pen?
I think it depends on who they're dealing with.
Sure.
More than anything, I have some pretty major-sized companies who give out pens to their employees, and they like to have that name on there and what year. It certainly, to my way of thinking for my own personal taste, kind of detracts from the beauty of the pen. But it's, I try to meet the customer's needs for what they need.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that I press in everything we sell, whether it be my product or another brand, is quality. If it's quality, I'll keep it. If it isn't, and I have customers who have very, very famous brands of things and don't like them, then I'm not going to carry them.
But, I think one of the things that you said early on, Rob, was that every time that key customer, that key employee uses that writing instrument, they have a fondness for where they got it. And oftentimes, I suspect, those things will be passed down generation to generation. They're just not a one-off.
They do, and I have people who actually come in and have pens made well in advance of family events coming up down the road, high school graduations 2-3 years from now, college graduations, things like that.
So. Interesting. All right, let's talk about some of the products that you have that you don't make, which I think it's fascinating that there's still pen makers out there. Think about that with all the automation that there is. Tick down some of the brands that perhaps people would be recognizable relative to pens that you have in store.
A lot of my best sellers and the best brands I carry are probably not very recognizable to people. Some of the most famous names that I don't carry because of their business practices and because of their quality.
Really?
I do carry Cross, Schaefer, Parker, names
Long time
like that.
Iowa companies too, weren't they?
Schaefer was,
yeah.
Yes. They were in Fort Madison.
Right.
And Parker was in Wisconsin. So we do carry those. I carry brand names like Visconti out of Florence, Italy, which in my estimation for an overall line of pens is the finest in the world, mainly just due to their innovation and the quality of the materials that they put in their pens. Other brands, ST DuPont, Aurora out of Italy.
Aurora is an interesting company, isn't it?
They are. They are, but they've maintained and they've lasted, where many of the bigger ones, Delta out of Italy, they've gone out of business. Omas out of Italy, they're out of business.
Mm.
And a lot of the bigger stores in the U.S. have closed their doors. So.
Yeah, and lots of these things are made overseas with cheap labor, but some still are taking a look at quality.
Mm-hmm.
In the writing instrument that they create. And I suspect, knowing you, that that's one of the things that you've mentioned several times. So I suspect that you're really intent on presenting to the public high-quality items at the same time.
Exactly. I decided after the joke kind of got old with my aged mother that if I was really going to do this, the one factor that I would focus on in my retail location is that whatever we had to be quality. Cost is secondary to me. We have some very expensive things. We have some very inexpensive things. However, they are quality. They work well. People like them, and they're reliable. So I will continue to carry those.
There you go. So we talked about paper. We talked about journals. We talked about not so much ink. And I think this is one of the things that people don't realize, if you have a nice pen, you got to have the stuff that works with the pen.
Exactly.
Okay, so talk to us about the ink and what makes ink special and what should people know about that?
Ink basically comes in three different forms, and in pens, there are ballpoint pens, which have a standard cartridge which carries ink, or some of them are standard. You have what's called a roller ball, which is very similar, but a more liquid ink inside, and then fountain pen ink, which is bottled ink or cartridges, but it works a little bit differently in a fountain pen than it does in other pens. And what I've found is that with fountain pens, and that's, believe it or not, mostly what I sell is fountain pens, it's a combination of the pen, the ink, and the paper. Mm. That's really what determines the writing experience. I've had people buy a pen and bring it back, say, well, this pen's no good. It bleeds all over the paper. And when querying them what type of paper they're using, they'll say, well, I bought a legal pad at a local big box business store, and it's like kind of writing on toilet tissue. It will bleed no matter what you write with on
right,
it.
Right.
So it's a combination of all of it. And that's one of the things we try to do is educate too.
And just my own experience, you know, I am a gel or a rollerball guy. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy those, the smoothness of the writing. And, I was just in your shop a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
Years ago, I gave my mother a pen that had been made by someone else, and I never really thought the quality of the writing ability was very good. I mean, it skipped a little bit and da-da-da. And I brought it in, and I said, you know, I'm a rollerball guy, but this is a ballpoint, and I'm not a ballpoint guy. And he said, try this. So there is a difference in the ink cartridges or the ink refills that you get.
Oh, most certainly. What I have found, and one thing I try to stay away from, is refills that are branded for the brand of pen.
Really?
Because I think so many times mass producers trying to save every fraction of a penny they can in the manufacturing process put cheap refills in them, which to me doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're buying a pen basically to write with. You know, it may be beautiful, it may be very expensive, it may be uglier than a mud fence, but if it writes well, that's what it's intended for.
Interesting stuff. The business, ladies and gentlemen, of quill and ink, it is really a fascinating business. And maybe it's because of my love for the instruments that I'm so attracted to this. But I think this is a top-notch stuff. Obviously, I'm a fan. Final question for you, Rob. What about selling online? Do you do that?
I did in the beginning. I had a website, and what I found is that basically everybody who makes pens like I do has a website, and I didn't sell that much. It was too labor-intensive mm-hmm. to maintain, and finally I just said, they don't have stores, I do, so I think we'll continue with my brick-and-mortar store, and now I'm about the only brick-and-mortar store in four or five states.
So yeah.
I'll continue to do it that way. It's worked. We've grown certainly from two-case kiosk to quite a larger space here.
It's a big space. Lots of inventory, as they say.
Lots of goodies.
Yeah, all right. Rob Beers, ladies and gentlemen. It is called Quill and Nib. It is in Valley Junction of West Moines. Rob, thanks so very much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.